Hi everyone, my name is Henry Lowry and I'm the current team lead at Nova Rover. We're a student team from Monash University, and on my right here is Daniel Ricciardo, not the F1 driver, but the science team lead from our team. So he's in charge of the subsystems which are involved in taking a sample of dirt from the ground and analysing it for life, essentially. We'll touch more on that later. But so we build Mars rovers to compete in university competitions, and we're hoping to attend our second in May this year.
Henry sort of touched on everything. Yeah, so yeah. We're all uni students from Monash University, and we do build Mars rovers, which is very exciting, and we are hoping to return back to America.
Hi, everyone. It is our absolute pleasure to be here with you at the Forum on the Moon, and we'd like to take the next few minutes to describe what we do, what we've achieved, and how our work might be applicable to mining and robotics on the lunar surface. Although much of our research and work is conducted with the Martian surface in mind, many of the techniques and knowledge gained is useful in this lunar context. The Nova Rover team was formed by five students out of a garage in Murrumbeena at the start of 2017. We've now grown to 33 Monash students who collaborate to build Mars rovers to compete at the University Rover Challenge, or URC for short. We encompass a wide range of disciplines, ranging from geology and biochemistry to mathematics and aerospace engineering. Behind me is a picture of some of our team out on a field test in April 2018 with our 2018 competition rover, affectionately known as Rovi. We have our 2019 Rovi over on the right-hand side of the stage. Please approach us at any time during the lunch break or after this talk. We'd love to tell you more about it. So the URC is comprised of four tasks. The first two, equipment servicing and extreme retrieval, rely on the dexterity of the robotic arm as well as the maneuverability of the rover's chassis to complete tasks which simulate assisting an astronaut on an extraterrestrial. The third task, autonomous traversal, is quite self-explanatory. The rover has to autonomously navigate to a set of GPS coordinates which approximate the location of a visual marker. Onboard computer vision then has to locate that visual marker to a tighter threshold. The science task is the last task and is what is most applicable to our applications today. The science module, at least part of it, of the 2019 rover, is fitted on the front of the rover over there, and so that makes up the majority of that task. So it requires subsurface drilling to acquire a sample of regolith, which is to be tested for extant or extinct life. These tests are to be done on board the rover, and our team uses a variety of spectroscopic analyses to do this. The URC is the most technical university rover competition in the world and attracts the most talented and driven student teams. So in March 2018, we were notified that we were successful in our bid to compete in the 2018 competition. This qualified us as the only Australian team and only team from the Southern Hemisphere competing in the 2018 competition. We are absolutely ecstatic to receive this news, being such a young team, only formed a year and a few months before that. We were able to finish in 14th place out of a total of 96 teams, which has given us the drive to continue our efforts and perform even better this year. The team has been hard at work over the past 7 months, designing, manufacturing, and assembling the 2019 rover that you can see on my right. We are currently awaiting the results of our 2019 system acceptance review, which basically decides whether we will be attending the 2019 competition.
Okay, so I'm going to be tying that all together about why is this relevant and why are we at today's talk. So I'm a big sci-fi nerd, and I love reading sci-fi books and seeing sci-fi movies, and I think this book by Andy Weir, Artemis, and the lovely movie Moon is really topical because they explore in amazing detail mining, exploration, and basically setting up colonies or establishments on the lunar surface. And this is really interesting because they go into a lot of detail, and they even show lovely photos and videos of large autonomous rovers, or these are harvesters. And being a nerd and being a part of a rover team, rather than, you know, being lost in the wonder of it, I broke it down and I said, okay, so what can these rovers do? And they require basically four key aspects. They need to be autonomous because they are on the lunar surface, so if something goes wrong, or we can't really rely on an operator to drive them constantly. they need to obviously have some sort of mining capability. So this may either be geographical field mapping, using like ore exploration, looking at the lunar surface about where the best place to go harvesting is, or of course using large drills or harvesters to sort of get resources out of the lunar surface. Then of course it needs to be robust. The lunar surface is extremely hostile. Much like the Martian surface, there are large obstacles, extreme terrain, ultraviolet radiation, really corrosive and abrasive dust that is going to, over time, cause these vehicles to decay. So they need to be robust, and we need to be able to rely on them to survive long periods of time. But at the same time, they need to be highly specialized. So anything we build on Earth, those large harvesters you see in like ore mines all over the world, those are specialized to that environment. Much like the rover we've made is specialized to the Martian surface, if we send that to Mars, it's not going to last a very long time because it's specialized to the human surface, to Earth, because we are simulating the Martian environment. So they need to be robust, specialized, some sort of mining capability, and autonomous. And luckily, these are the categories or the tasks that are expected of all teams competing in the University Rover Challenge. So this was the competition rover that we sent over to America last year. It is somewhat robust and somewhat specialized, but it was done after a year's worth of progress. So on the top you can see the robotic arm, and that was the manipulator and end effector we used to sort of interact with the environment. And this was the scientific payload that we attached to the front of the rover. And although it's not specific to mining, its main task was to look for biosignatures and to look if there was any presence of extant, extant, which is currently living, or extinct life. But it is transferable because we actually designed and built our own holostem auger, which the main goal of it was to look at lithostratic profile, or just like how the soil changes over time. And through that column, we can determine how the environment has changed over time, and also what sort of sedimentology, what sort of resources are available beneath the surface. This was in one of the papers that we wrote for or concurrently by developing the system. In the top two images, you can see drill holes done by the Mars Curiosity rover. And then in the bottom two holes are the ones that we made using the rover last year. And one of the things I like to do at talks is to say which one was made by the Mars rover, which one was made by our rover. And it's exciting because sometimes people get it mixed up. And, you know, it's unique knowing that a bunch of students can make a technology that is rivals sort of NASA's technology. And on the left, you can just see the sort of different components that we used in the drill. And yes, that is a hand drill that we sort of cut the handle off from Bunnings. Being a student team, you do need to be innovative and creative. We used a lot of zip ties and a lot of duct tape. So this was actually one of the student projects. Yes, Stu. So one of our students was actually developing a Raman spectrometer, which essentially uses light to learn about the different structural properties of different objects, and the main goal was to put this Raman spectrometer on the rover and then give the rover a capability to determine what mineralogy was around it, and from that you can look at different biosignatures such as different minerals that form precipitously through water being there, which means there's a possibility for life, or you can of course transfer that to looking at different minerals that would be essential for mining and sort of developing an industry on the lunar or Martian surface. Then, of course, going back to those four key points that I talked about, the rover does need to be autonomous, and if someone's required to drive the rover and make sure, oh, there's a big rock over there, I need to avoid it, the rover last year and this year, we've actually developed an autonomous protocol that it knows when it is about to go over a steep incline, it knows if it's about to hit a big rock, it is self-sufficient to some certain degree, and we can leave it by itself and perform certain tasks. And, of course, this is the 2019 rover. And if the teaser video wasn't enough, we are happy to pronounce that the 2019 system acceptance review video that all teams must submit to be considered for the competition, we submitted midnight, I believe. Nice little deadline. So if you would like to see more about the rover, hear more about all the different subsystems from science, electrical, autonomous, software, chassis. There's a 5-minute video on YouTube. Don't check it out right now, but when you do have the time, just type in Nova Rover Team 2019 SAR. Just a quick little plug, we do have a website, Facebook and Instagram, so if you're feeling inclined, go ahead and check us out. Thank you very much for listening.